never travelled by day, knowing that the army they were following would be resting in camp, and with a daylight view ahead they were unlikely to run into any surprises. They went up through the pass onto the plateau, where they found ample water, although much of it had been fouled by the thousands of animals and men who had been there ahead of them. The horses were well rested, and they travelled fast in the lightly laden chariots. They passed hundreds of abandoned campsites, marked by dead fires and sagging lean-to shelters, litter and scattered filth. There were also hastily dug graves, for an army on the march suffers constant attrition. Some had already been dug open by the hyena and the jackal, the corpses dragged out and partially consumed. "We will need her," Nefer said as he dismounted and stood over the body of a young woman, probably one of the army whores. There was no way of telling how she died, for the vultures had almost completed what the hyena had begun. Her eyes and lips were missing, and her skull grinned at them through blood-blackened teeth.
"In all the love of your gods," Meron cried, "have you lost your senses? That thing stinks to the skies."
"Help me wrap her." Nefer ignored his protest. He found a length of discarded linen, so torn and dirty that even the Bedouin who scavenged behind the army had found no use for it. Between them, they lifted the remains of the dead woman onto it and wrapped her neatly. Then, to his loudly expressed disgust, they tied the bundle to the back of Merin's chariot. Though they'd been travelling under the dust pall since dawn, it was mid-morning before they caught up with the rearguard of the army. The entire expeditionary force had already gone into lager for the day, and the smoke from the cooking fires marked the position of hundreds of separate encampments along the road ahead. Nefer led them off the road, and they circled out to avoid the baggage train, keeping out of sight of the road. Scouting the terrain ahead, they went forward cautiously. Eventually, they caught up with the convoy of treasure carts, and the tall litters of the royal wives halted in a grove of olive trees. It was well past noon when Nefer crept up close to them and climbed a tamarind tree from which he could spy over the thorn-brush Zareba that surrounded the camp. Queen Merikara's pavilion was set at some distance from that of Heseret, but the two sisters were sitting under a linen awning, protected from the sun, and picking at the lavish meal their serving-maids had brought from the cooking fires. Nefer was not close enough to overhear their conversation. Heseret sat facing him, chattering and laughing gaily. She was even more beautiful than Nefer remembered her. Even in these informal circumstances she was wearing carefully applied make-up, which was intended to make her resemble the statue of Hathor in Memphis. She was decked out in a suite of magnificent jewels, and her thick dark hair had been freshly oiled and crimped. Misha, the tall black slave girl with the legendary posterior, leant over her shoulder to refill her golden bowl. A splash of the red wine spilt down the front of Heseret's dress. She sprang to her feet and thrashed Misha over the head with a heavy fan of silver and ostrich feathers. The girl fell to her knees and covered it with both hands, but the blood sprang out between her fingers. Merikara tried to restrain her elder sister, but Heseret rained blows on Misha's head until the shaft of the fan snapped in two, then hurled the broken end at Merikara and flounced away, yelling threats and abuse over her shoulder. Merikara lifted the slave girl to her feet and led her away to her own pavilion. Nefer waited patiently, hidden in the top branches of the tamarind tree. Sometime later, Misha left the tent with her head bandaged. Still weeping, she disappeared among the trees. Nefer did not move until Merikara appeared at the opening of her pavilion. When they'd last spoken, Nefer had warned her to keep alert and wait for him to come to her. Now she looked round her carefully, spoke to the guard at the door of the tent, and began to wander without any apparent purpose around the periphery of the camp. Clearly she'd taken Nefer's instructions seriously and was searching the surrounding countryside for a glimpse of her rescuers. She was the only person stirring, Most of the others were sheltering from the sun and the heat, and even the sentries showed no interest in her. Nefer took a small polished silver mirror from his pouch, picked up the sun's reflection, and shot a ray of light into Merikara's face. She stopped instantly, shaded her eyes, and peered in his direction. He flashed thrice more, the agreed signal, and even from that distance saw her smile become as radiant as the reflected sunbeam that danced over her lovely face.